1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That is something that all should accept, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In these two verses, there are two very clear, emphatic statements made by Paul. In the text in Romans, it is clearly and emphatically stated, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." From the text in 1 Timothy, it is clearly and emphatically stated that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Know this, that what we read here in Romans 3, what we read here in 1 Timothy, is always, all the time, continually, night and day, incessantly, and forever true and accurate. Those words are always true, always applicable. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't end there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. These two truths can be confidently declared in all places. Wherever you go, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They are two truths that can be declared to all people. Doesn't matter who you're talking to. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They can be declared in all circumstances and at all times. They are proclamations for the ages. They are vital pieces of information for all mankind. All mankind needs to know this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of mankind needs to know Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners mean nothing without "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." These two statements are a matter of life and death. These two statements you need to hear. Everyone needs to hear. They need to be taken to heart. They need to have an impact upon us. And if they don't, that just shows what a sinner you are. They must not be read or heard with an attitude of indifference. They must not be read or heard in a thoughtless manner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Those two statements are inseparably connected. The one states the universal problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The world is filled with problems. Our country is filled with problems. But here's the root problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You fix that problem, and all the others are fixed as well. The other states the one and only remedy to the problem. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we have the problem, the universal problem, the universal remedy, and these are pictured and announced throughout the Word of God. The first of these two statements, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, is a horrific thought. One that ought to fill our hearts with fear and trembling. And the second of these statements, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, that's glorious news. That ought to bring hope and stir within humility and gratitude and worship and praise. So we want to consider today these two statements, and it is our prayer that each and every one could see themselves in both statements. That both statements be very, very real in your life. So we want to speak on the subject of a horrific statement and some glorious news. First of all, we have a horrific truth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Think of those words in the light of God's glory. His glory is mentioned in that statement. Many view sin as almost separate from God. Sin is never separate from God. And when we view sin separate from God, sin is greatly minimized and trivialized, which is a ploy of Satan. For the truth is, only in the light of who God is can we see who and what we are as sinners and the awful character of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's in the context of the glory of God. So we must ask, what is the glory of God? It's who God is. And when considering who God is, it's important that we remember that everything that God is centers around the fact that He is holy, that He is perfectly righteous, that He is pure, He is free from all flaw, free from all defect. He's faultless. He's perfectly good. And as such, He hates sin. He hates all sin. And He hates it intensely. With that in mind, we read this statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And come short of the glory of God. What that means is that sin is measured in the light of who God is. It's not measured in the light of what someone else does. It's measured in the light of who God is. It is measured in the light of the fact that He is holy, righteous, and pure. And measured in that light, oh, how wrong, how bad, how corrupt, how vile and foul and reprehensible and abominable is sin. When you look at it in the light of the glory of God, how vulgar, how grievous is sin when looked in that light. And then we have that statement, for all have sinned. Can you feel the horror of that statement? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can you feel the horror of that statement? You say, well, it doesn't faze me at all. That just shows how wicked of a sinner you are. That would not bother you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a holy, righteous, and pure God. He demands absolute perfection. You can compare yourselves to other people to make yourself feel good. And we can always find somebody that we think is worse than us. We're good at that. But God demands perfection. Perfection. This is a sad and tragic statement. It's a very dismal statement. May I say it's a very consequential statement. And it ought to be a terrifying statement. Can you feel the power of those words? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Consider that statement in the light of what sin is. People have different definitions of sin, but the Bible very clearly defines sin. To sin is to go aside from who God is. We've already seen He's holy, He's perfect, He's pure. Anything that goes aside from that is sin. It is going aside from what God has said. It is going aside from who God is in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words. And how many sinful thoughts have gone aside? How many of our thoughts have gone aside from perfection? How many of our deeds, how many of our words are contrary to and against who He is and what He has said? For all have sinned. Sin is to violate the law of God. You say, well, I don't agree with the law of God. It doesn't matter. Sin is to violate the law of God. Therefore, it's a crime against God. All sin, whether it be a thought or a deed or a word, all sin is a crime against God. Now, crimes are committed against society. But when you start to think of a crime against God, How horrible is sin? It is an opposition against God. It is rising up against God. It is a rebellion. It is a revolt against God. It is striving and contending against God. It is a defiance of God. And we read, all have sinned. In other words, all of us have broken the laws of God. All are criminals against God. All are opposed and risen against God. And all have rebelled. And all have revolted. And all have contended against God. Let there be no doubt. All sin is against God. You cannot sin without being against God. And it is emphatically declared, all have sinned. All have sinned. There's nothing as bad as sin. There's nothing as detestable as sin. There's nothing as despicable as sin. There's nothing as vile and corrupt and dishonorable and ungodlike as sin. There is nothing as shameful and disgraceful as sin. And then we read this statement, for all have sinned. That's a horrific statement in light of what sin is. I ask you today, can you feel the weight of those words? For all have sinned. You can read it this way. For I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Consider these words in light of what sin does. All sin separates from God. All sin is unacceptable to God. And we read, for all have sinned. Wherever there is sin, there is destruction. Wherever there is sin, there is ruin. There is loss. There is havoc. There is misery. Sin is spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally disabling. It's debilitating. It's paralyzing. There's nothing more degrading and shameful than sin. It has taken more than any thief. It has caused more misery than any plague upon mankind. And it has wrought more destruction than any so-called natural disaster in world history. And we read this statement, for all have sinned. That is a horrific and frightening statement by itself. For all have sinned. It is the declaration of God, for all have sinned. So I ask you today, that being the declaration of God, to what court are you going to appeal to for a hearing? There is no higher court. And the highest court, the highest judge, says, for all have sinned. That's the diagnosis. That's the diagnosis of God. And someone says, well, I want a second opinion. You get all the opinions you want. But God still says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I have different thoughts. Regardless of your thoughts about the matter. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, my family is, I come from a good family. I have a good upbringing. And I'm a religious person. But regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He states in Romans 3, verse 19, that all are guilty before God. And this guilty sinner can die at any moment. That ought to greatly concern you. You may be saying to yourself, well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, I've got some more bad news for you. Romans 3, verse 20 says, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. You do the very best you can, and I'm not telling you not to. You do the very best you can, but know this. You fall short of the glory of God. In other words, a sinner cannot change his or her condition by obedience, by religion, by baptism, or by any other means of himself. The sinner cannot set themselves free from the guilt and the condemnation of sin. The sinner cannot rescue themselves from the darkness and the bondage and the misery and the danger that results from sin. So that statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it is a fatal diagnosis. And it is a helpless statement, a hopeless statement by itself. If the only thing we had in the Bible were the Ten Commandments, the laws of God, and then it closed with this statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you would have no hope whatsoever. But it doesn't end there. There is some glorious news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The very ones we read of in that first statement. The subject of that good news is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Everything in that statement goes back to the subject, which is Christ Jesus. So in that news, our attention is immediately drawn to a person, Christ Jesus. He's an incomparable person. He's the greatest, the most precious, the most lovely, the most beautiful, the most influential, the most relevant, and the most meaningful of all. Christ Jesus. That word Christ means that He's anointed. He's anointed of God. The very God that we have sinned against sent Him. He's anointed. That means He's prepared, He's qualified, He's equipped for the work that God sent Him to do. And what was that work that God sent Him to do? To save sinners. To save sinners. Notice Christ Jesus, that's God Himself, by the way, came. He had to exist before He came. He was before he came. That is very clearly declared in John 1, verses 1 and 2. He was with God, and he was God. And he came. And he was made flesh. This is how he came. He came from the glories and majesties of heaven in a body of human flesh to do what? To save sinners. Notice also Christ Jesus, God Himself, came into the world. Why did He come into the world? Because that's where the sinners are. He came into the world. He had to come from somewhere. He came from the glory of heaven. He came from the glory that He had with the Father. He came from the praise and the adoration of a heavenly host. He came into the world. And He came as Christ Jesus, possessing everything that the world needed. We read that all fullness dwells in Him. And He came. He came to a fallen, guilty, and perishing world that was going down to ruin. Notice also, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. That little word, too, is a preposition. It's used to express purpose and intent. He came into the world, too. He did not come without a purpose. He did not come without an intent. And His purpose and intention of Christ Jesus coming in the world was to save. To save, as we've pointed out many times, implies a bondage. It implies a slavery, an imprisonment, some sort of misery or suffering or anguish or despair. It's indicative of a crisis. It's indicative of an emergency. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God is a crisis. Is an emergency. And He came. God sent. Fully qualified. Fully equipped. With the power and with the authority. To save. To set free. To release, to rescue, to spare. Christ Jesus came to save. That's glorious news. It also implies, that word save implies, that the ones He came to save cannot save themselves. There would be no reason for Him to come to save if we could save ourselves. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. But Christ Jesus came to save. Who did He come to save? It says He came to save sinners. And for all have sinned, we all qualify as sinners. And Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Sinners describes the nature and the character and the practice of those He came to save. We are sinners. By nature. We're born that way. We do not become a sinner by sinning. We sin because we are sinners. That's our nature. People will say, well, I don't know why so-and-so did that. Because they're sinners. What would possess someone to do that? They're sinners. He came to save those who sin. He came to save those who are guilty of sin. He came to rescue and save sinners. That's God's remedy and God's solution to for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He came to save sinners, those who are enslaved and entrapped and imprisoned in sin. He came to save condemned sinners, those who are alienated from God, those who are unacceptable to God, and without the righteousness of God. He came to save sinners. He came to spare perishing, hell-deserving sinners. That's wonderful news. It's an amazing thing that the great God, the holy and pure God, the sin-offended God, the very God who has the power and the might to crush the sinner and heap eternal damnation upon his or her soul. What a remarkable thing that that God would send His Son into the world to save, to rescue, and to spare sinners. He came to save sinners. Notice it does not say that He came to make sinners savable. It's not what it says. He came to save sinners. It does not say that He came to help or assist the sinner in saving themselves. That's not what it says. He came to save sinners. He came to save them from their sins. He came to rescue sinners from the death and from the guilt and from the condemnation that sin brings. He came to rescue sinners from the alienation and from the enmity that sin causes. He came to save sinners from the darkness, from the oppression, the misery, and the danger of sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When He came with the power to break the chains of sin. He came with the righteousness that the sinner so desperately needs. We have come short of the glory of God. God demands perfect righteousness. And Christ Jesus came with the righteousness that we need. He came with the cleansing that we need. He came with the forgiveness that we need. He came with the pardon that we need. He came with the reconciliation, the peace, and the acceptance with God that the sinner needs. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, what love. Especially when you consider the ones loved. sinners. Notice the plural. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. There's hope. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's hope. Because Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Caucasian sinners, black sinners, Oriental sinners, Hispanic sinners, Arab sinners, male and female sinners, sinners of all ages, sinners of all types. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. So this is the diagnosis. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You go to the doctor tomorrow and he says, here's my diagnosis, you have such and such. What's your next question? What can we do? What's the remedy? Here's the diagnosis. And again, it is a fatal diagnosis. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. It's like the doctor telling you what you have is fatal. There is absolutely nothing I can do. There is absolutely nothing that I know of any human being or any hospital in the country can do for you. But there is a remedy. And there's only one remedy. And when that doctor tells you there's only one remedy, do you get mad and walk out? No, you're thankful that there's one remedy. And there is one remedy. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That is a fatal diagnosis, and in and of yourselves, you cannot recover from it. There's nothing you can do to make it better. But then comes this glorious news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God has provided a way. Only one way. But thank God He provided a way. And that way is in Jesus Christ. So we must ask the question, have you personally experienced what you read in Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you mean, have I personally experienced that? Has the reality of that ever struck you? Has the reality of I have sinned against God ever struck you? If not, we pray that it does. For all have sinned. Do you have realization? Do you have some understanding of what that means? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you ever felt the weight of that statement? Have you ever felt the filth of that statement? And the shame? And what it means? I have sinned against God. Have you ever felt the condemnation of what it means? You ever come to the realization, I am a guilty sinner, and in and of myself, I'm unacceptable to God? For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Now I know by experience, I also know by many other ways. Romans 3:23 makes a lot of people mad. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear that there's good in them. But the truth is this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has said that. You can get angry. You can get offended. You can vow, I'll never come back to that church. But that only proves what a sinner you are. It only proves it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we wouldn't leave you there. Because that's not where God leaves you. But we leave you with this glorious news. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. God has provided a way for sinners. You and I that have experienced this glorious news, we've experienced it. Christ saved our soul. We also expect, you do not experience that without experiencing Romans 3:23, without feeling it, for all have sinned. But having experienced this glorious news, oh, how we ought to praise Him. Christ Jesus came to save me. Paul said that He was the chief of sinners. Christ came to save the worst of sinners. If you've experienced that fact, acknowledge your indebtedness to Him. Worship Him. Honor Him. Exalt Him. Sing to Him. Live for Him. He saved your soul. He spared you from what sin deserves. Live for Him. That's the least you can do. So we have a horrific statement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we have this glorious news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you're here today and have never been saved, there's hope. There's hope. The hope is not in religion. The hope is not in yourself. The hope is not in society. There is hope in Jesus Christ. You need to trust Him. You need to realize, you need to feel the weight that I am a sinner. And I deserve the wrath of God. I've sinned against God. And then you need to see the one and only Savior of sinners, Christ Jesus, and trust Him. And flee to Him. And I promise you today, if you can trust Him, He will save your soul. He'll save your soul. He will not turn you away. If you can trust Him today. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse 1.